I wanted to do him because my name is Jonathan, and I wanted to learn more about him. First of all, Jonathan means gift of God, or Yehu has given, and he is known for his love and friendship for David. Who is he? He was the eldest son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. He became his father's right hand and a lieutenant in his father's early struggles to fight off hostile tribes. He is first found in the Bible in 1 Samuel 13, and he's also found in 1 Samuel chapters 14, 18, 19, 20, and 31. Some things I learned about Jonathan while I was reading the Bible was that he was the son of King Saul, and he was the first heir to the throne of Israel, and he would defend David when Jonathan's father Saul wanted to kill David. Let's read a little about Jonathan in 1 Samuel 19, chapter 19, 1 through 7. It says, "Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, 'My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay into a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand before my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you.' Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to Jonathan, 'Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David?' So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, 'As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed.' Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him of these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in time past." Jonathan even used skills as an archer to warn David with signs. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 20 and 22. "Then I will shoot three arrows to the one side as I shot at the target, and there I will send a lad saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I expressly say to the lad, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, go get them,' then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I thus say to the young man, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away.'" The most important lesson about Jonathan that I learned from the Bible was the great friendship and brotherly love between Jonathan and David. Would you please turn with me to 1 Samuel 18, chapter 18, 1 through 4. "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David became a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." So David went, Some people try to claim that David and Jonathan's love for each other in the Bible was example of homosexuality, but that is not what the Bible says. They simply had strong brotherly love for each other. Just like David was known as a man after God's own heart. Despite their love for each other, Jonathan was eventually killed in battle with the Philistines. An example of love between Jonathan and David is that it remained strong even after Jonathan's death. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, And years later, when David asked the people if there is anyone left from the house of Saul, so that he may show kindness for Jonathan's sake, then Mephibosheth came out and said he was the son of Jonathan. We can read more in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Says, now David, is there still anyone? Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him the kindness for Jonathan's sake? And then there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at the service. And the king said, it is not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, for your father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Again, there shows the love between David and Jonathan. So they displayed a true example of model for love and friendship between men. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is scary, I tell you. You can turn me down there, Lucas. I'm too loud anyway. This is something because I know we're on the board. We need to discuss about getting speakers because when Steve is gone, and we kind of decided that a board member should take place, you know, to help give Kurt a break, or so we don't have the same speaker, you know, to come up and bring a message. So it was back probably in October, November that we're going through and who's going to speak. And well, I said, okay, Steve said he's going to be on the 28th. He's on vacation of December. And I said, well, I'm trying to work with Jonathan and Lucas and trying to bring us a little message to offer a break for the ones who regularly speak. So we were coming into December, and I was giving Jonathan, what are you going to speak on, and what can I speak on? And John said, yeah, he'd do it, and I appreciate that the effort that he put forth. I mean, we need to encourage our young ones, and I want to encourage each of you adults, if you have something to bring forth. It's kind of scary. I'm up here, I'm kind of shaking, kind of warm, because there's other things that I'm going to get into that, wow. But John, great job. Perfect. That's what I want. It helps all of us out. But now, back to the 28th of December is when we were down to speak, and Steve had said, well, Dustin Wiggins was going to be here, you know. Great! Hey, I can get out of it! So Dustin was here the 28th, as we know, and now here we are, second Sabbath, and we have to step up. But now, I've got a lot of things that I possibly speak on, but a little nervous, not what, well, I don't know. And so I went and I picked out a word in the Bible. And this is probably 2.5-3 weeks ago. And started looking in a little bit. Mine's going to be short. It's not nothing special. But here we come to class, and I didn't get a chance to look at the quarterly last night to study the lesson. Yeah. Ooh. So, but come to class and started. I had a few errands to do in the back, and the people who were in a Sabbath school heard the message. So what a coincidence is this? I didn't look at the lesson, and here we're talking about fear. It brings a whole new meaning. Do you think God is out there? He picked this out how long ago for me to bring forth? Wow, you know? I mean, about what was brought out in the lesson is about what I have jotted down. I mean, it's kind of funny, strange, I guess so. But mine is on fear. And what I got come forth is that, you know, really fear only exists in our minds. If you think about it. Fear. Can you feel fear? There's a difference between feeling fear and scared. Scared, you know, when do you feel scared? Do we learn fear? We learn fear when we're probably little, yeah, I guess. We have to learn all things as we are growing up or little. Do we do things when we're young? Do we do things for our parents out of fear? Being scared? I'll get into that a little bit here. When you feel fear alone in a scary... Or I mean, do you... If you go to a scary movie, do you feel fear in that or scared? When you walk to your car, if you're at Walmart, you know, ooh, somebody watching me, somebody, you know, coming, walking towards me, do you feel fear or do you feel scared? So do we really know what fear in the Bible is telling us or what it's teaching us? So back to, we need to learn what fear is. In Deuteronomy 31:12-13, it says, assemble the people, men, women, children, and foreigners residing in your towns so they can listen, learn to fear the Lord. That should be number one. To fear the Lord. It says also in 13, it says, their children do not know this law and must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live. And it also says in your crossing the Jordan to possess. Also, the word tells us in Joshua 24:14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. All faithfulness. Throw away your gods and throw away the gods of your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Can we throw away our gods? The things that we cherish the most, maybe? Do we cherish God the most? Can we get to the point where we can throw things away that mean the most to us? And I mean, I don't mean necessarily throw them away, but what I mean is to, I mean, there's things in our lives, our houses, our cars, our clothes, maybe jewelry, maybe whatever we think we cherish the most. Do we cherish that more than we cherish God? And that comes down to the point where, are we fearing God more? When we really must fear the Lord. We must. Because fearing the Lord is the beginning of following Him. It tells us it's the beginning. Psalm 128 says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in obedience to Him." Also, to fear the Lord is the beginning, and it's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Here we are, our Sabbath school class. It is the beginning of knowledge. That's where we begin to the smarts, the knowledge of God is to fear Him. Also, to fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fools, they don't fear God. We may have a little bit of fear in our lives, but is it what we are meant to have? So to fear God is just the beginning of your walk, and you must start at the beginning when you're younger, and that includes with our parents. Our parents should teach us how to fear God. The beginning starts with fear. Fear is mentioned throughout the Bible, Old and New Testaments. All the way through. I mean, there's from the beginning to towards the end. Now, it comes to a point where I think a lot of people aren't necessarily fear, but they're scared of God. God doesn't want that. And fear, it also says, is that, let's see here. So, okay, let me back up a little bit. I think that a lot of people don't fear God, but are scared of Him. So, what do you think fear means? The fear in the Bible talks about is true love or loving reverence for God. True love. And that includes submission to His Lordship and to the commands of His Word. So as we stand in awe of Him, and that means true love, we can rejoice. So also, be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, and consider what great things He has done for you. And that includes wisdom and knowledge. As far as I'm concerned, that's probably what we need to stand on. We need to grow in wisdom for the Lord, in the Lord, and the knowledge in our lives, and the knowledge of what He's gonna bring to us, for us. And also, back in class, BJ had brought out in Proverbs 8, 13, To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and persevere speech. Prefer speech. So, what is fear? It's not to be scared of Him. It's to love Him unconditionally. Thanks. That's all I got.